Life Lessons from Autobiography of a Yogi. During our time in Seville, Spain, we were asked to speak about how to live Autobiography of a Yogi. Here are a few lessons from Yoganandaji's life that can guide our own journey. First, lessons from his childhood. Master said that he came into this life with clear memories of his past incarnations. One was of a Himalayan yogi, which he believed also foretold of a future life. For us, it's a good practice to try to recall memories of past spiritual lives, because this isn't the first time we've been on a divine quest. We're just picking up where we left off before. It's also good to try to recall when we first saw a photo of Master in this life or felt a connection with him. Such memories can reawaken our connection with our guru, which has been built over many lifetimes and can give us confidence to keep going on the path. Another lesson we can glean from Master's childhood is from his experience with his sister Uma when he saw her rubbing ointment on a boil on her leg. He then took the salve and rubbed it on a spot on his right forearm. "Why do you use medicine on a healthy arm?" Uma inquired. "Well, sis, I feel that I'm going to have a boil tomorrow. I am testing your ointment on the spot where the boil will appear," he replied. "You little liar. Sis, don't call me a liar until you see what happens in the morning." Master writes that he was filled with indignation. An adamant resolution sounded in his voice as he slowly replied, "By the power of will in me, I say that tomorrow I shall have a fairly large boil in this exact place on my arm, and your boil shall swell to twice its present size." And so it came to pass. When Master's mother heard what had happened, she gravely instructed him never to use the power of words for doing harm. There are many other incidents from the autobiography in which saints use the power of their words miraculously to heal others. Our lesson here is to realize the powerful impact our words can have to hurt or help others. Try to be conscious of the effect your words or actions can have on those around you, and discipline yourself to choose the path that brings only benefits to them. Next, lessons from his search for saints. Throughout his early years, Yoganandaji was always on a quest to spend time with saintly souls. Each encounter with them brought added wisdom and blessings into his life. We too should seek to associate with high-minded people who can uplift our consciousness. It is said that second only to having a true guru is the blessing of satsanga, the gathering of truth seekers. Avoid those people, whether friends or family, who are cynical or mock your spiritual interest. Letting them have an influence on you is like throwing refuse into a clear pond. It only muddies your mind. Choose your companions wisely, for they have a tremendous impact on your inner life. Lessons from Sri Yukteswar's training. As we read in autobiography, Yoganandaji's guru, Sri Yukteswar, was a hard taskmaster. He wrote, quote, "Discipline had not been unknown to me. At home, father was strict. Ananta, his older brother, often severe. But Sri Yukteswar's training cannot be described as other than drastic," end quote. Sri Yukteswar said to him, quote, "If you don't like my words, you are at liberty to leave at any time. I want nothing from you but your own improvement," end quote. We can learn from Master's acceptance of his guru's training to embrace the tests and challenges that come to us in life with the understanding that they are to help us grow spiritually. Whether our guru is in a body or not, Great souls are not limited by time and space, and they continue to guide the lives of their disciples through the discipline of tests. And finally, lessons rooted in divine love. In the closing pages of the book, Master writes, quote, God is love. His plan for creation can be rooted only in love. Does not that simple thought, more than any erudite cosmological tome, offer solace to the human heart? Every saint who has penetrated to the core of reality has testified that a divine, universal plan exists and that it is beautiful and full of joy. To the prophet Isaiah, God revealed his intentions in these words, "Ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace." The men of a hard-pressed 20th century hear longingly that wondrous promise. Yet the full truth within it is realizable by every devotee of God who strives manfully to repossess his divine heritage. End quote. Despite unsettling world conditions in which we find ourselves, we can still find inner joy and peace through our search for God. Remember, too, that our efforts are not for ourselves alone, but to help make that divine promise attainable for others. Master's whole life was dedicated to bringing love, joy, and peace to the world. As spiritual seekers, let us do our part to help others realize their own divine heritage. One could easily spend a lifetime delving into the lessons to be learned from the autobiography. Try to see it as much more than a book. It is a living reality that can continue to guide us to God. We invite you to share your own experiences with this great scripture. With joy and gratitude, Nayaswami Devi. Hello, friends. I'm recording this blog. We just arrived in Delhi, India, today. We flew into Mumbai yesterday and then flew from Mumbai up to Delhi today. But I wanted to record this and get it off to you. And, you know, this subject, as I said, we could write books and books about all the lessons and the guidance that are contained in Autobiography of a Yogi. But in a way, it's up to all of us to find those lessons. For often I've had the practice, if I'm seeking an answer to a problem, then I will pray and meditate and ask for guidance and then hold Autobiography and randomly open it three times and to a page, and then with eyes closed, point it at a section of the page. And it's amazing how often the exact answer to your question can be found where your finger is pointed on that page randomly selected. So as I say, autobiography can be a living guide if we approach it as such. It can be interesting stories about Indian culture and history, about travels at that time, many, many things. But Master gave us this book as a vehicle so that he could continue to guide and be present in the life of his own disciples. And so we can use it in that way. But there are other themes in autobiography that in our limited time, I couldn't touch on. There's the theme of joy, how an underlying delightful sense of humor and joy permeates so many of the different chapters, and always that very, you can almost see sometimes the twinkle in Master's eye as he shares the stories about his adventures running away with his friend in Two Penniless Boys in Brindaban, and or an uninterrupted flight to the Himalayas. But always there's that bemused twinkle in his eye where he realize you can, and if you tune into it, you realize that he sees all of life as just God's dream world. And that gives him the ability to just stand back and enjoy what he sees. And then there's another theme that's also important, and that's when Master was sent to America. He didn't choose to go there. It wasn't as though he wanted to leave his guru, come to a land that of which the language he barely knew, and he knew no one. But it was his dharma. And so that's another theme that is an underlying theme that runs through autobiography. Whatever you're given to do, whether you succeed or fail, to do it with consciousness and awareness that you are doing this to be a channel for God in whatever it is we're doing. So, and as I close the written part of the blog itself, I invite you to comment and talk about experiences that you've had with the autobiography, because as I said, it is not just a book, it is a living reality. So God bless you.